So today's scripture is Romans chapter 8, verses 13 through 25. I encourage you to open the red Bible there to page 1118. If you're using a large print, it's on page 1755, Romans 8. Today's message is the spirit of adoption. And I encourage you to read along so that it's reinforced. Starting in the 13th verse. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Word of God, people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Now, I read from the English Standard Version, so the reason I chose it is because the NIV says the spirit of sons with a little asterisk next to it, that means it's also translated as the spirit of adoption. And the other major translations all say the spirit of adoption, which also is consistent with what it says here in the NIV a little bit later. So, spirit of adoption. Let's pray. Loving Lord, we thank you for your holy inspired word, that it is powerful and effective, sufficient for all things having to do with salvation, that it never returns void, always accomplishing the purposes for which you send it out. We pray, God, the Holy Spirit, on this place, prepare us to hear a word from you. Let not this preacher get in your way. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 20th century English philosopher and lay theologian G.K. Chesterton said that this triangle of truisms of father, mother, and child cannot be destroyed. It can only destroy those civilizations which disregard it. They wrote that about 80 years ago.
Hey, Tracy here with Mom Life Today, and I'm so excited because I have Stephen and Alex Kendrick here with me. And we've been buddies sort of for a while, because yes. I met you all when you were at Family Life a while back.
I think we crashed one of your...
You did!
That's right,
Priscilla. You did crash that. That's some great memory. Well, there's a lot of things I want to talk to you about, but I want to start with you, Stephen, because around here at Mom Life Today, November has always been a special month to us, because November is National Adoption Awareness Month. And I know that you and Jill just adopted a beautiful baby. So tell us your adoption story in 4 minutes or less.
Okay. We just adopted a baby girl from China this summer, and we're very excited about it. Her name is Mia,
And looking back, we have four biological children, and God started working on our hearts. And one day I was on an airplane, and he used a passage of scripture in John 10 to say, I want you to adopt. And so I dated it, wrote it down into my Bible. And 2 years later, after we filled out all the paperwork and everything, we started getting referrals. And we turned down the first four referrals because God was just, there was no peace about it. It's like, something's not right. And on the fifth one, this little girl was born in China with a heart condition. And it said on her form that she was born on 2/14/2011 on Valentine's Day in 2011. And the Lord gave us a total peace about it. She was the one we've been praying about. We said, yes, we moved forward with that. And we're very excited about it. And then we found out, my wife said, when was it that God told us we needed to adopt? And we went back and looked in my Bible, and it was 2/14/2011. The day that she was born was the day that God told me, you need to go adopt.
Okay, so can I break for 1 minute? So prayer is so important.
Absolutely.
Because you had all these other opportunities, but God just didn't give you a piece of that.
That's right.
Okay, well, tell us more.
Well, and this is a big thing. We've heard stories about adoption that have not been positive, and so we knew it had to be from the Lord. So
right.
I told my wife, I said, first we need to have confirmation that God is in this. And so I tell people, you get in the Word, you get unified, you get praying, and you wait for the Lord to give you that peace and that direction. And so he did that with us. And then pray about the specific one. It may not be the first referral that you get, you know, if he's telling you to adopt. And so he gave us a total peace about that whole circumstance. Not Alex, my wife, you know. But he gave us a total peace about that circumstance. The name that he gave us, my phone is now singing to me. But
this is real life.
This
right
is
on
real
life
right
today.
Now.
See, even the guys do it.
Yes.
It's all good.
So, but the Lord gave us a total peace about it. And the name he gave us to name her was the same name her Chinese mom had named her. And the day he prompted us to pray was the day that she was having her heart surgery in China. So we got her home, and she's just bloomed. I mean, and he gave us a bunch of scriptures about adoption, his heart for the orphan. So Psalm 68:5, I tell people, go to Psalm 68:5. God is a father to the fatherless, and he places the lonely into families.
Mm. Well, I know that for family life, Hope for Orphans has always been a part of our ministry and a part of what we do. So moms, if you're not familiar with Family Life, I would, or Hope for Orphans, I would ask that you just go check out hopefororphans.com. And I just can't wait to meet Mia. And I just want, if you could give us a peek into what is happening in Jill's mom's heart right now, just a little peek, tell us a story.
Yes.
Or something.
Well, she is blooming. My wife is actually expecting now after we went through the whole adoption process. We found it. So we're having our sixth child in December. But Jill is thrilled. You know,
yeah.
She is so grateful. And God has confirmed that he's in this. And that has brought so much joy in the midst of all the transitions. But we're seeing answers to prayer. We're seeing right now she's blooming in our home. The other kids love her. And we're seeing the radiance on her countenance. She was so fearful and panicked the first day that we got her. No smiling, no eating anything. And now she knows that she's loved. And when she cries out, there's a mom and a dad to pick her up and hold her. So.
Well, I've always loved when friends of mine that have adopted, they talk about when their child finally found their forever family.
Mm.
So God bless you that Mia has found you and you have found Mia. And I'm sure we'll hear more about Mia in the future. And thanks for joining us on Mom Life today. And we'll see you next week, Mom.
That was the short version of the story. I recommend the movie the Kendrick Brothers did, Show Me the Father. And the story is told more fully with other stories. Make sure you have a box of tissues handy when you watch it, right? Show Me the Father. Did you catch that Mia was born with a heart ailment? But the very day that she was born, God was preparing this little girl and her forever family to receive her. She came with the spirit of an orphan. He just said that she was fearful and panicked when she came. But when she was received into her adoptive family, a family that all loved her, she blossomed, she bloomed. Her heart ailment was healed. Before Jesus was crucified, he was preparing his disciples. He said, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Of course, Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. Depending on the translation of verse 16, a counselor is also helper or advocate or comforter. In each translation, Spirit of Truth is always used. By sending the Holy Spirit, Jesus is saying that the Father will be sending Jesus himself. I will come to you. That seems a little confusing. Well, we gain some insight from another critical passage about our adoption into God's family from Galatians 4:4-7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because we are sons, God has sent the Spirit of the Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Notice exclamation marks, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. So not only does this passage proclaim the message of adoption, it testifies to the mystery of the Trinity. God in three persons dwelling within us, the adoptive sons and daughters of Father God. Jesus comes to us by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Notice that both of these passages declare the same effect, the indwelling Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And then the Spirit of Jesus Christ, Abba, Father. Now, you probably heard it said, because it's often been said, that this is a term of endearment, daddy, father, right? Abba is an Aramaic word for daddy and father. But it is much more. It is a confidence in the relationship and in the person to which it is addressed, God Almighty. And it's done in earnest, right? And it's ongoing, crying, right? Crying, Abba, Father, Daddy. Now, during the children's chat, you heard me share that just before I turned 9 years old, along with my brothers and sisters, we were adopted by my stepfather. My biological father was often away for many months at a time while he served in the U.S. Air Force. And when he was home, he was still absent because he was an alcoholic. It takes a special man to marry a woman with three children, right? Mac, my dad's nickname, loved us, and we felt it. While he often worked two jobs, somehow there was often special family time. Now, I've always referred to Mac as Dad. I did not refer to Don, my biological father, as Dad. Even as an adult, after we reconciled, I did not call him Dad. I felt like he did not deserve this special title, and that Mac had earned the love and affection it implied. No, we are not intended to be orphans. In today's passage from Romans, there are three references to God's sons and three references to God's children. And the Galatian passage is quite similar. No, we are not intended to be orphans, but to be filled with the Spirit of adoption. Now, this is the verse that Steve Kendrick cited, Psalm 68, verse 5, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God, his holy dweller. Here we have Paul in Ephesians, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. In the opening chapter of the Gospel of John, the apostle tells us that Jesus came so that we could become part of the heavenly family. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Preacher Jimmy Evans, while preaching on the spirit of adoption, contrasted it with an orphan spirit. Right? He said they are opposites, and that abandonment is the worst fear of every orphan. The orphan spirit overlaps with the spirit of slavery that results in fear, that our Romans scripture talks about. The The spirit of adoption tells us metaphorically that there's always a place for us in our daddy's lap. The spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. Now, one commentator called this a penetrating ministry, the impregnating of the human spirit with the realization of all that is involved in being children of God. It is the cooperative activity of both holy and human spirit. The spirit of adoption tells us that God is in control and we can have confidence in our Heavenly Father. Our passage in Romans, after giving us this great promise of adoption, goes on to address the reality of suffering. Now, I've preached several times to you about the connection between suffering for Christ, suffering for our faith, and the glory that comes to us through that. We obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God, and we have a sustaining hope. The fulfillment of our adoption as children of God is the redemption of our bodies. This refers to our heavenly glorified bodies in the culmination of the kingdom of God, right? When we come into the glory, we have our glorified bodies, like what Lord Jesus would describe when he was here before he ascended to be at the right hand of the Father, right? Glorified bodies. In the book Ministering to 21st Century Families by Dennis Rainey, there is an appendix for the Family Manifesto. And I'm going to read two excerpts from this manifesto. The first one under the heading Fathers. We believe God has charged a father to execute the responsibilities of a family leader. He is accountable before God to lead his family by sacrificially loving his wife and children, and by providing for their physical, spiritual, and emotional needs. We believe the greatest way a father can love his children is to love their mother. We believe children gain much of their concept of God from their fathers. We believe a father should teach his children by instruction and example, truth from the Bible, and how to apply it practically in everyday life. Therefore, a father should spend a quantity of time as well as quality time with each child. We believe a father should demonstrate godly character revealed in humility, tenderness, and patience toward his children. We believe a father should demonstrate love by practicing consistent discipline with each child. Yes, discipline a child is love. Therefore, we are committed to turning the hearts of fathers back to their children by emphasizing the importance of their role as fathers. We are committed to exhorting every father to model a love for God and his word, to model love for his wife, and to love his children. This next excerpt is under the heading, God, the creator of the family, Father. We believe in the fatherhood of God. The title Father implies that God is a relational being. The Bible reveals God has four primary relationships as Father. He is the Father of creation, the Father of the nations, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, and of all believers. We believe the Bible presents the title Father as one of the primary names Christians should use in addressing and relating to God. In doing so, Christians identify themselves as children who belong to the family of God. We are committed to proclaiming and demonstrating this truth about who God is and who we are, so that God will be glorified and that he might use us to bring others into his family through a personal relationship with his son. So it's a lot about Father, God is Father in our scriptures. But we know that God is without gender, right? So why does the Bible emphasize the fatherhood of God so much? Well, think about the relationship between mother and child, right? The mother carries the baby inside of herself for 40 weeks. The mother gives birth to the child. Almost immediately after birth, the baby is placed in the arms of the mother, and the mother nurtures and nurses the child at her breast. The bond is natural and visibly evident. Love flows and grows through this connection. And because we know that God is love, there is less need to emphasize the motherly character of God. We have seen it ourselves. Maybe the emphasis on God as Father is because of the shortcomings in human fathers. I read of two boys from the New England states who were drafted into the service in World War I. One of these sons came from a very rich family. The other son came from a family where the father was dead and the widowed mother was barely able to eke out a living. These boys from the New England states met on the battlefields in France. They became close friends, buddies. One day, news came that the widowed mother from the poor family died. The rich boy tried to console his friend and talked with him about it. But then, as the war went on, the rich boy was mortally wounded on the battlefield. These two were fighting side by side, and so it happened that the boy, who now had no parents at all, cradled the head of the dying rich boy in his hands. This boy who was dying said to his friend, "Friend, you have no mother, you have no dad. I am an only son and heir to my parents, and I'm going to die. I want you to take my personal effects, my ring and my watch. I want you to take this very bloody shirt from my body, and I want you to go to my father's house if you live through this war. And I want you to tell him of our friendship. I want you to tell him that I want them to receive you as their son and give you the inheritance that rightfully should be mine." When the war ended, the boy from the very poor background made his way to a stately mansion, and he knocked on the door. The servant came to the door and said that the master of the house was seeing no one. Since his son had been killed, he had been in seclusion. But the young boy, holding these articles in his hands, explained briefly why he was there. And before long, the father was there, conversing, trying to get the news of his son's last words. Then he held in his hands those personal effects and a blood-stained shirt and told that story. When he told that story, his father opened his arms and said, "Come, my son. My wife and I will love you because our son loved you. We receive you now into our home, into our family, on his behalf." What does the spirit of adoption accomplish? We have demonstrated that you get your heavenly father. We get a family, all those brothers and sisters in the faith. We share the same father. You get freedom, glory, and hope. You get an inheritance, a future. Now, during the children's chat, I mentioned that just before I was 9, that went to the adoption process. So the three of us, our three children, reunited with mom and dad. New place, new school. My first day in the school, I'm in the 4th grade now. Mrs. Peace is taking the role to learn who the kids are, make sure who's there. She instructs us that when our name is called, for us to raise our hands. And she's doing it alphabetically. So when she says, she gets to the B, she says, "Donald Boshin," I raise my hand. A couple minutes later, she gets to the M's and says, "Donald McMahon." I raise my hand. She's confused. And she goes back and she says, "Donald Boshin." I raise my hand. By now, all the kids are looking at me. Feeling a little out of place. She says, "Donald McMahon." I raise my hand. Well, just then, and this is 1965, so I don't know how this happened. The principal came in, and there was hushed conversation up front. And that was the end of the conversation. She didn't call my name again as part of the roll call. From then on, it was Donald McMahon. So why do I tell you that? Because it's critical for our children to know who they are. To know what family they belong to, and to know the heavenly family that they belong to. Amen. Let's pray. Most good and gracious Father, we know in all of our brokenness that oftentimes our homes are not what they should be. And even the best of fathers will make many mistakes. But Lord, let that be a lesson in grace. As we have been granted grace, let us grant grace to others, most especially to our beloved wives and children. Lord, we thank you that we have been adopted into the most special family of all, the family of God. Let us remember that with joy. And we ask, Lord, that the spirit of adoption would become prevalent, that people would come to understand their need for their heavenly family, that they would have all the love and the future that you have arranged for them, an inheritance, Lord, that could never perish. We thank you, Lord, our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen.